All right, you fucking loser.
Yep.
Did I beat him?
No, he actually got on first. It's like it's like a Christmas miracle.
Well, yeah, I've been waiting for fucking 20 minutes. You fucking idiots.
Well, when you don't text this dick for an hour and a half, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm ready. Man, get the fuck out of here with that.
You're so fucking stupid, you ignorant.
You stupid.
You.
Right. Okay.
Start the fucking show.
What's up, Udat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating is a big old zero. Seems like the defense took two steps forward last week, only to take another step backward this week. One thing we do know is that Rob Ryan and his crew are running short on time. The offense is already on the train, but it seems like we're starting to worry if the defense has even bought their tickets yet. We got a short week, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Well, that was fast. I'm going to go with a 2.
Like the Micro Machines guy.
Uh-huh. Just drinking a little Jim Beam honey and water. Had a little bit. I got home late, so I had to record the game and kind of sped through it. But I had a couple drinks during the game.
Well, at least you didn't have to listen to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman mispronounce Stanley Jean Baptiste.
No, I just listened to all that they're trying to do a hurricane stuff.
Yeah. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.
As is, of course, the tradition.
You are one pathetic loser.
I would have thought Damon had a number the way he came in.
He did go to the game. Nice of you to bought one of those 950 beers.
I go to the game to watch it, not to drink.
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah. Right, you're the one guy.
All right, let's jump into game recap. And so the final score, 27-13, Saints lose preseason game, but starting off with the first team offense that only had the one series, he drove the ball pretty good down the field.
I mean, I saw enough to know Breeze is fine and, you know, get the ball to Cooks and, you know, tried to thread the needle with that Colston pass towards the goal line, went to triple coverage like he thought he was Jimmy Graham or something. So, you'd like to see a touchdown, but hey, they were able to move the ball pretty consistently. Now, J.J. Watt didn't play for Houston, so
yeah.
I guess take that for what it's worth, but all their other starters were in. And again, look, offense isn't the issue with this team. We kind of know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ingram had a couple of good runs, a few good passes. Would like to see him punch it in, you know, the throw to back shoulder throw to Hill in the first, and of course everybody is going to compare it to Jimmy Graham.
Oh, I know.
Which half the time he might have dropped it anyway. So, you know, they'll...
Well, you can't say Jimmy would have caught that. I mean...
You can't, well, you can't say anything. I mean, you never know. But at least they move the ball, so I'm comfortable knowing, yeah, the offense is going to be okay.
Well, we said it last week. The main thing for the offense is keeping Drew Brees clean and him apparently being healthy. So, you're right. The offense is fine. We're still missing Spiller. Who's obviously, I can only assume, you know, is a major part of the offense with Sean Payton.
Well, apparently we're going to miss him for another couple weeks.
Right.
Kind of what it sounds like.
Like 2 weeks into the season or
into
something.
Into the season, what they said, you know.
Yeah.
Ugh. Look, injuries is what you look. And you have to be lucky with injuries. I mean, that is just, it is what it is. We, in 2009, we were lucky with injuries. You know?
Yeah.
2011, we had one injury that I believe cost us the season would be Eric Thomas, you know, got knocked out. But so injury is part of the game. And speaking of injuries, I don't know, we didn't talk about this before the, apparently, Vinny Sinceri tore his ACL.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it was like a non-contact, just his knee buckled and
right.
Then he got carted off. And then the early reports, now I don't think anything's been confirmed, but early reports. I saw some early report that it was a torn ACL, which sucks because he was going to be a pretty good special teams player for us.
I mean, I've liked his engine, you know, and his motor ever since he got here last year. Yeah.
He's a smart player.
Yeah, I remember you talking about him, Damon, last year.
So,
on the show.
So, I mean, that really sucks. He got hurt last year, and now he's hurt again this year. It really sucks. So,
but again, it's part.
I'd rather him tear an ACL than Breeze or Cooks or even an offensive lineman. You know, like I'd rather with all the ACL injuries going around. You know, if we got one.
Well, and Marcus Murphy did a great job coming in.
Tom Murphy.
Yeah, he came in. He had eight. Right, he caught the workload today. 43 yards.
Because Kyrie didn't. He didn't play today either.
True that.
But you know, on returns, he looked solid. Had a real
that
nice
long one that was called back.
Yeah, even had another. Well, that was a personal foul after the play. At least it wasn't like I was worried that it. You know, it was a hold in the blocking that got set him free. But it was. This was just after the.
Yeah.
After the play, stupid play. But even running the ball looked pretty good. Had a nice long 40-yard pass reception.
Mm-hmm.
So look, he's definitely making the team, and Peyton even said it after the game in his press conference. Like, you know, Marcus Murphy, he's made the team.
Oh, all right. So that's going to be C.J. Spiller, Ingram.
Kyrie,
Murphy.
And Murphy, I don't know if they're going to keep high. I mean, I don't know if you're going to keep five running backs. I really wouldn't see. Unless, if Spiller's out for the first 2 weeks, maybe Hightower makes it for the first 2 weeks. But then when Spiller's back, I just don't see us having room for five running backs.
Well, how many quarterbacks are you going to keep?
They're going to keep three. Yeah, they're going to keep three.
Didn't we have a year where we only had two?
Well, a couple of years under Peyton.
Yeah, but with Grayson being here, we have to keep him, but we're not going to go in with just Breeze and Grayson. That's not going to happen. Ryan Griffin didn't get a lot of snaps today, and when he did come in, he threw a pick. So I guess it's McCown and Grayson. I mean,
McClown.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's quit delaying the inevitable and start talking about the defense.
Good. Yeah. Right. That's going to be the theme all season with this defense.
What is it? I mean, we're missing what, five starters or something?
No, well, not that many. Browner didn't play. Vaccaro didn't play.
Bird didn't play.
And, well, Bird is just... Okay, no. Now we can officially be worried about whatever his fucking situation is. But just... I mean, did... Still no... I mean, apparently we got one sack today.
Yeah.
One sack.
One sack. A lot of pressures. I mean, it seemed, you know...
But we had to blitz a lot to get the pressure today. That's something that I noticed. You know, that's what we had to do under Greg Williams, and that didn't work out very well for us.
Yeah, only got us a Super
Won
Bowl.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, turnovers got us that. I'm talking about 10 and 11 when we actually had to blitz to get sacks. Had to blitz all the time.
And 9. We had to blitz to get sacks then also.
I don't think we blitzed nearly as much, though.
I'm pretty sure that Greg Williams was, you know, consistent throughout his tenure as defensive coordinator. He likes to blitz, so yeah. It was 9-2. No, I mean, no, it's... You would like to only have to rush 4 and to get the pressure and the sacks, but not every team has a J.J. Watt. He hasn't played the preseason.
No.
Look, generally the third game is known for the starters playing a half plus maybe another series in the third. That's my point. We obviously didn't do that today.
I mean, even Houston.
It's, right. So this was a very strange third preseason game as far as starters playing. I think Peyton, and he had said it before the game, I heard it in an interview, you know, that he was really looking to, because the first cuts come this week, he was looking at the younger players to see who's going to be on the team, you know. I don't know that makes me feel good, the way the defense performed. I mean
they played okay against the run. I mean, I guess you could say that. You know, they only gave up... I mean, there really weren't a lot of long runs, but just... They went back and just quick passes, got the ball out, and we couldn't really stop them. And, I mean, they attacked Keenan Lewis that first drive on a couple of plays to Hopkins. The coverage wasn't bad. He didn't look around for the. He didn't look back.
Well, there were several pass interference penalties we got like that today, and I want to say I can remember three of them, and they said the exact same thing. Oh, well, the defender didn't get his head around, and
But I mean, he looked. I don't know that first pass interference against, you know, that one in the end zone against Lewis. He did look back at the end, and
but he put his hand on his shoulder before the. I mean, that was. I mean,
but the
it's not
the
even
receiver
about looking back. That one.
But I mean, the receiver also. To me, that was a little. It wasn't as obvious a call, I think, because he did look back at the end. The receiver, you know, it was a physical confrontation between the two. I don't know.
That was pass interference. And I believe it was the first one that you're talking about, where it looked like the receiver was trying to come back for the ball, pass interference.
Not what I saw. What I saw was Keenan Lewis put his hand on his shoulder and gave him a shove before the ball got there, because the guy had a step on him.
Oh, but then he had to come back, and then Keenan turned around at the last minute.
It seemed like ticky-tack calls to me when I saw it, and again, it seemed like every year they have the officials put a new emphasis on some particular play. That's the first thing that crossed my mind today after seeing, again, I want to say at least three pass interference calls where, you know, on the radio they were saying, the receiver didn't get his head around. Defender.
Right.
And I'm saying, well, okay, I mean.
I think Jim Henderson did make a note to say, today's refs for sure were not letting anything slide with interference.
Well, we did have 11 penalties total. You know, again, not a good game in terms of penalties.
No, and again, 150 yards. I mean,
yeah,
and
Houston had nine.
Defensive pass interference eats up a lot of yards.
Right. Yeah, those spot fouls are just
right. They eat up a lot of yards.
Yeah,
I mean the refs called it high on both sides. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm not. The ref didn't do anything to cost us the game. And again, it's preseason. I give two shits if we win or lose.
Right.
I mean,
it's young guys who are trying to make the team, playing a little more aggressive. You know, you're probably
playing a little aggressive. I mean, look, Damian Swan had a real nice pass breakup, but then he also got called for an interference later. So you know, that's for a young guy like that. I guess it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely got to tighten it up when the season starts. We can't have fucking 10, 11, 12 penalty games. I mean, that's going to cost us games.
Oh, no, that's one of Sean Payton's big emphasis, you know, his so-called hidden yardage in the game. And yeah, I mean, that's 150 yards. That's definitely one touchdown, you know.
So you went to the game. What time did you get down there and get in? Did you pull the old, I'll leave LaPlace an hour before the game and slide my way in?
Yeah, it wasn't busy. The dome wasn't packed, to say the least.
They claimed 72,000 was there.
Well, no, 72,000 were paid. But
There wasn't.
I mean, Henderson did say there was a decent crowd. Was it bigger than last week?
I don't think so. It definitely. I didn't feel like it. The energy was definitely more last week. Oh, it could have been also because we were. You know,
everybody was.
Well, the first game back, and obviously we did much better on offense and defense. You know,
it's probably because we were playing the model franchise,
and it was a nighttime game versus an afternoon game.
Yeah.
So much, yeah.
And we were playing the defending world champions. You know,
yeah, true. All right, so. Any plays of note?
I won't say plays, but something that I had. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show last week. I know I tweeted it out a few days ago that Willie Snead is making this team.
Oh yeah, how about
no
that?
Doubt,
yeah.
I mean, no doubt he is a lock for the roster now.
Kind of reminded me a little bit of Lance Moore, huh?
Well, that's what there were a couple of articles on him this week comparing him to Lance Moore. A little undersized, undrafted, but he runs good routes and he catches everything.
Yeah,
and that's he gets enough separation and will catch the ball, and that's all you need.
That's all you need.
See what I did? That's Willie Sneed.
Willie Mae Sneed. So, not much else to really talk about in this game.
Coleman finally made his first catch. Now, he dropped the first pass to him, but he did make a catch or two later in the game.
Yeah.
And, again, I don't know how much it really...
So, who's your starting defensive players? I mean, you know you got Anthony, he's starting. You know Kikaha's starting.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think he's starting. Now, he did play a lot, but I don't know that he starts. I mean, if we go 4-3, I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's another thing. I don't know. Back under Jim Moore, I knew we ran a 4-3, okay? You know, 3-4.
Yeah.
Three defensive linemen, four linebackers. I knew who was starting. I don't know if we run a 4-3 or a 3-4 now, or some sort of
mix it up
hybrid.
Did he say he was going to do like a 2-5 last year or something?
Right, you know. Remember, he likes safety, so you know.
We're going to do a 1-1-9.
Put like five safeties on the field or something.
Right,
a 1-9.
I mean, you know, so I
mean, I don't. Jordan Hicks.
You got to think they're
well. Jordan's a starter, yeah.
Right.
Know.
Jordan Hicks is a starter. I guess John Jenkins? I mean, unless you're going to... Because I don't think they want to play Kevin Williams all... You know, they're not going to give him tons of snaps. Maybe they play him on first and second down and take him off.
Right. I mean, but if you're... I think it's just... The way the NFL is nowadays, especially on defense... And defensive linemen, I mean, they're, you know, who's your starter? I don't know. Your starter might take 40% of the snaps, and then, you know, they try to rotate them.
Right. Yeah, the word starter, so.
Right, for the defensive line is hard. I mean, obviously, look, your safety, you know, your skilled position, your safeties and cornerbacks.
Right.
If these guys can get healthy, you know.
Right. I mean, they've been sitting out Browner, but you got to think he'll be. I'm assuming he's going to be ready for week one. Bird, I'm going to go and say no. The motherfucker ain't practiced yet, so that whole Bird thing is just...
Mind-boddling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boddling?
Yeah, mind-boddling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
Well, again, injuries are definitely a concern right now. You know, it doesn't seem that we have or we're going to be able to put the best players on the field. You know, Bird.
It's just like, we don't even know what Bird's, and I guess, you know, in terms of what you mentioned last week, how you were getting frustrated that we don't know anything, like, we really don't know anything about Bird.
Yeah, no shit.
We know nothing.
No shit.
That is weird. Weird, but we don't
and
have
look,
a reason to know.
And look, we didn't know anything about C.J. Spiller, except he got photographed.
He's on crutches.
in Florida by some random asshole.
And now he's going to miss two games.
Right.
But we still don't know what the injury is, right?
Just an arthroscopic cleanup, they say, but it's still a freaking surgical
procedure. Well,
we
don't know, right? We don't know.
But he was healthy. He tweaked something in a... I don't know if it was the black and gold scrimmage that he tweaked something in, or...
Yes, we don't know anything. That was my point last... That was my point last week, right. You fucking cocksucker.
All I'm saying is that it's a recent thing, and then he had surgery for it, so now he's out a few weeks, and...
Okay.
I mean, so again, we don't know who's healthy, we don't know who's hurt, we don't know who's starting.
We don't know what we're going into the season with.
Right, no, exactly. We don't know anything. I mean...
The good thing is, neither do our opponents.
Right?
You know? I mean... Anyway, I'm trying to be positive here.
Yeah. That's kind of funny, though. This is the first year, I feel like, that we really know this little.
Well, yep. Never mind.
Shut
right.
up.
I know where you're going with it.
Shut up.
He's like, Jeff, that's every year for you, right?
All right, moving on to headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And the first headline we'll talk about is Junior Gallette is back in the news. So, two things about him. One, he tore his Achilles, so he's out for the season.
Oh, yeah, he's done for the season.
karma. And then, two, the Saints are attempting to withhold the $1.25 million that they owe him, claiming that he violated the terms of his contract extension by not telling them about the belt on the beach video.
Oh, is that what they were going to use? Because I saw they were going to try to withhold it.
I know they're trying to withhold it.
I didn't know exactly what
the reasoning was.
Apparently, they say that he never told them about that video, and that that put him in breach of contract.
Or at least that incident, right?
Yeah.
But that incident...
Yeah, the incident, not necessarily the video.
But I mean, but the incident was so long ago, like, it's not... The NFL's... There's no possible discipline from the NFL for that incident, though.
No, but the Saints want to hold on to $1.25 million.
Right, but do they really have just cause? I mean, it's not like... It's not like he's going to be suspended because of the incident, and now they're not going to have him, and I could see that being a...
Maybe Mickey Loomis concept. Just wants to give him a middle finger.
Well, that's probably it, more likely.
And look, I mean, you know, we throw these numbers around like they're nothing. You know, $1.25 million is a lot of money. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
We talk about these guys and their contracts, what they're making, like, ah, it's only $1.25 million. What the? Ah, give it to them. You know, no that's a lot of money. I mean...
Yeah. That's like a case of Grand Camus wine for Tom Benson to go along with his ice cream.
It doesn't feel like a lot because of the salary cap hell that we're in. It's like, that ain't going to make a difference.
Right.
But, yeah, they're doing that. So, of course, as is tradition, both sides are confident that they're going to win.
Well, that's the way it is in any negotiation.
Right. So the next headline is Katrina 10 anniversary was Saturday, August
29th. Oh, good. I haven't heard enough about this. Really?
No.
Was it? I didn't know that. Really?
Wait, what is this year you're talking about?
We have a lot of international listeners. We have a lot of listeners who are outside of the city and state.
I'm sure they've been bombarded with this crap.
No, they actually haven't.
Not nearly like us, though.
They haven't. Probably the first time anybody, even as far up as Alexandria or as close to Alexandria, nobody here was talking about Katrina 10.
Well,
that's a new war. It is contained to the city, and then that on national TV they did a package before the game.
Right, national TV, and then Fox has been doing something all week, and CNN did something all week, and HBO's doing something. These are all national freaking programs.
Oh, I didn't see those.
Yeah, but it's not. But it's not the overkill that we've gotten around
here in
the New Orleans area.
So what are you aggravated by it, Damon?
Well, A, the overkill.
What about it, though?
All right, I mean, it's been 10 years. Some of the way the media was portraying it, like 10 years later and you know, I live here. Jason lives here. I mean, Jason, do you still see effects of the storm every day?
I mean, I don't see it every day because I'm not involved, but there's still a lot of places, you know, a lot of houses that have not been rebuilt. That's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of problems that's still here. Now,
Hold on. No.
Kind of like with anything, there's
you
been
say a lot. It's those houses are concentrated in an area,
but it doesn't mean there's not a lot.
Well, but that area was a piece of crap.
But that area also got hit worse than a lot of other places.
Well,
like my house in Metairie got 2 inches. It's easy for me to. Whatever.
Oh,
I know. That's fine.
We are.
I'm like, man, look,
I'm immature.
That's fine. That's
I think
fine.
We're still in high school.
That's perfectly fine. It was a good laugh. Like, look, so my house only got 2 inches. I also had flood. Okay. You know, like I also had flood insurance, so. But you know, it's better in some ways. It seemed like, and maybe this is just on Twitter, that there's just so many people that still point out, oh, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. I'm like, look, shit ain't gonna be fucking perfect, okay?
The storm came and whooped everybody's ass.
Right.
From Chalmette to Lakeview to the Ninth Ward.
To Kenner.
Kenner because of their incompetent goddamn...
Kennebra. St. Bernard,
Plaquemines,
yeah.
Right. And obviously we live in Louisiana, so we're focused on us. But Biloxi, Waverland, you know.
Yeah.
They just got wiped out.
They got hammered. Yeah,
I mean, they just, you know, wiped out
Right. Yeah. And all the and everything is about New Orleans. And
well, right. Well,
there's
we're
not nearly as much mention
bigger
as
city,
the
more
the,
people.
As the
bigger
rest
city,
of the
more people.
Goes.
But again, they focused on the unfortunate. And it's a shame. And look, we all
those poor unfortunate souls,
people, we should always help our brothers and sisters who are less fortunate than us. There's no doubt about that. You know that we could give a
right.
hand.
Because also, if you're going to do a coverage about the destruction and devastation that the storm and the ensuing flood causes, you're not going to go to Jason and put his story on the news. The interview would be like, "So, what happened? Oh, I got 2 inches."
I had flood.
I had flood insurance, and everything's fine. Okay, thanks. That's it. You know that.
but no, not Jason. Because again, Metairie wasn't hit.
But I mean, but even the people in Lakeview who had flood insurance, you know,
their houses were completely.
You know, I mean, and like, look, they got fucking 10 feet of water. But if you had flood insurance,
I know a guy who lived in Lakeview. He lives in Laplace now because he's not. He, you know, they moved there. His family evacuated. He stayed. He was one of those where the water went so high that he had to get on his roof, right? And he ended up swimming to a bridge where he could climb up with a bunch of other people. Ended up just kind of like almost that – what's that movie with Denzel Washington where he's
–
The Book of Eli? I never saw
it. Yeah, Book of Eli. It, just this kind of walk slash swim all the way to – I think I want to say like Laplace before he could catch on a boat.
No. He is in Lakeview. He didn't swim to fucking Laplace.
He didn't swim. I said walk slash swim over time with people, a group of them, like a little gypsy,
a little caravan.
Yeah, they ended up having to walk.
A traveling relay.
Yeah,
but come on, but look. We've all seen the pictures, and especially, you know, since they like to remind us. And right, we saw the people on the overpass, the I-10 overpass downtown. And just, they're all just sitting there. And when I see them, I think the same thing. If it would have been me, and now I'm relatively healthy, right. I'm just going to walk until there's some sort of civilization. I'm just going to keep walking, you know. I'm just going to keep walking until I find something,
right.
You know. I tell you what I'm not doing. And this is a good rule of thumb for anybody. Listen to me. I'm not going to sit here and wait for the government to fucking come help me.
The way I know government to work.
Right.
Like, I know, well, even if I wait for something, shit ain't coming. Right.
Right. And
at least
it's
not
just,
timely.
Right. I mean, again, you know, President Reagan's famous line, the worst word you can hear is, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help, you know. I'm from the government to help. So, again, the storm was horrible. We weren't prepared. No one was prepared. We couldn't imagine... Such. I mean, before, you know, 10 years ago in a week, we couldn't have imagined such demonstration. And it was a folly from the federal government all the way down to the dog catcher. I mean, it gets the truth.
But again, looking back on the storm, if you think about it in sports terms, I mean, you know, they were, I mean, without the storm and its effects, you know, I mean, what's to say that we would have... I mean, look at all the upgrades that the Dome got, and it just got fast-tracked because, Katrina.
Not just the Dome, but the animosity. Remember I sent you all that video a couple of weeks ago about Benson and when he was negotiating with the state in, like, 2001? And, I mean, we forget now. It's been 12, 13, 14 years. The real animosity between Mr. Benson and the state. And we really thought we were going to lose the team. But now we have no fear of losing the team. And this is before the storm, folks, not just, you know, in the aftermath when we didn't.
Yeah,
know, the storm.
Like, even in the off season before the 05 season, Benson had gone back and they were dealing with the state and what kind of subsidies he was getting to keep the team here. And then you had.
Right. Foster had given him a bad deal, in my opinion,
because
he was giving him cash, you know. And now Jindal did it, you know, where basically he rents Benson Tower and pays him extra. But anyway, you know, but it's an easier pill to swallow, you know.
Well, and fast forward now, that storm is going to be an inflammatory statement, but in a lot of ways, it was the best thing to happen to New Orleans.
Well, There's always a silver lining, and of course we feel terrible for those who were lost. I mean, 1,800.
Right, and I don't mean to...
Oh, right, and the lives that were devastated and people who lost everything. No, it was horrible. But you're right. You look at the silver lining, the city was in decline in every way possible.
Yeah.
And the storm, what it did was it rushed us to the bottom real quick.
Right.
And, I mean, it did. And,
no, it definitely did.
And we had nowhere to go but up, but we were also forced to look at our inequities. And also, we have benefited from the great generosity of this country. When the tragedy happens, we bond together with family, and we help everyone out.
But you know what's funny, though? You talk about how, you know, yeah, the storm kind of put, you know, we all bonded together and decided we're going to work together and we're going to fix this, you know, we're going to rebuild, rebirth, you know, repeat. And what's funny, though, is 9/11 did that for us as a country, but, and maybe it's because it's on a larger scale, how quickly we as a country, you know, we all got together, it's USA, USA, and then we all kind of, now there seems to be even a thicker divide, you know, lines drawn throughout the country for a lot of things. Whereas in New Orleans, you feel like there's still that, you know, here we are 10 years later, and there's still that solidarity for the city of the people in the city. I mean, there is that pride of New Orleans and everybody. Well, I mean, you look at Magazine Street revitalization.
Jeff, I think it's one of those the old saying, you don't know what you had until it's gone. And when we thought we were going to lose it, and this includes the Saints.
Yeah.
You know, the year at the 2006 was the first year ever that we had sold out in season tickets. First year in the history of the team, and they were, what, 40 years old at the time, right, you know, right. Roughly. Because, again, oh, my God, you mean we really might lose it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so everybody made an extra effort. And I get, you get complacent, all of us do, in life and everything, maybe with your spouse or your job or whatever, you know. And until it's threatened to be taken away, that's when you stand up. You know, that's when, and you're already talking about Magazine, and our culture here in New Orleans is very unique. And again, we've all said it before, South Louisiana is different than North Louisiana, a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And so when, you know, they were talking about...
A different culture, for sure.
Right, when they talk about not rebuilding and not, you know, what all the silly talk that they were saying back then.
Right. Cowboys.
You know.
I don't think my neighbor even knows that Katrina hit. No, I'm kidding.
You know. But, like you said, 10 years later, so the media, you know, focuses on the negative and still the people struggling 10 years later, God bless them.
That's just the style of storytelling that the
sure
media
it is, sure it is. That's what they have to do. But I'm saying I'd rather what we just talked about, the positives of everybody coming back together, those who did come back, and like you said, revitalized Magazine Street is spectacular. The
French Quarter.
The French Quarter.
Canal Street.
Right. I mean, you know.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, French Quarter didn't really flood. But
no, but there's a new revival.
But just in general,
Barony. New Orleans has always been a melting pot. Sure, now because of Katrina, it's actually more of a transplant city than it was, you know. But you have to, you can't stay the same forever.
Right. And look, our traditions still go on, you know.
We love to teach our traditions. I
right.
Mean,
and
yeah,
exactly. That's what people come and fall in love with. And then our traditions become their traditions. And so many people come here for work or for school, and they just fall in love with the city, and they stay, and they add to the rich culture folk have. And I've said this before the show, you know, the storm, it was terrible, but there were some positives that came out of it.
Right, and we can choose what to look at.
Right.
Super Bowl!
Yeah.
God, bring it back to football. Good job.
Yeah. Look, if Katrina doesn't hit Jim Haslett in his 8-8, you know.
Yeah.
Sean Payton does not come here.
Drew Brees doesn't come here.
You don't get Drew Brees, right. And we're getting another year of mediocrity until they finally
leave.
Right.
Kick them to the, well, they kick them to the curb,
right.
And then we
yeah,
move.
I think the people who were hurt the most by Katrina was actually the citizens of Los Angeles.
Well, San Antonio.
Because they didn't get a team. Or San Antonio, right?
Yeah, Los Angeles is getting a team. They don't care. They're too
well,
many.
They could have had one by now.
Tanning on fucking Ventura.
Right. But the
Saints would actually make sense. The City of Angels, the Saints be playing there, you know, Saints and Angels.
Okay, yeah, just stop it. Fuck Los Angeles.
All right.
Well, there was a very good article. I forget where I read it. I don't think it was NOLA or The Advocate, but it might have been. But they were talking to some of the former players who were on that team in 2005.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a good article. I think it was Sporting News interviewed Aaron Brooks
and John Carney.
That's
it. That was it. Yep. And even I didn't realize all of the, I don't know, bullshit that the team had to go through that year. Especially at the time, I don't think any of us knew. You know, they had their gym in a school parking lot under a tent. I mean, this is an NFL franchise. Mm-hmm. No wonder. It's amazing that we won 3 games.
Right, it is amazing.
Well, shame on those 3 teams that we beat. You know? And in the article, and I think, Jason, you can correct me if it wasn't it, but one of the important games after Katrina that I believe does not get enough attention was that first game of the season against Carolina. That we won. I mean,
we actually won.
Right. I remember watching the game and where I was. Do y'all remember that? I mean, that game was big.
I remember the game was big. I don't remember. I'm assuming that I was
2005.
Yeah. Assuming I was in Laplace because I was living with my parents for the next 4 months.
Right. But, I mean, but that game was so big because this is – now you're talking literally weeks after the storm. I mean, you know, we're literally just picking
– Yeah, maybe like a week and a half.
Right, picking our butt up. And I can remember watching that game, and they won it and just, you know.
Actually, I'll say this.
That game was on 9/11?
The idiot young fan in me, when we won that game, was like, holy shit, we can make the playoffs. Like, I honestly think I thought when we won the game, I was like, okay, this season isn't going to be a total disaster.
Because you're that guy.
Well, because I'm a fan. Because I'm trying to look for anything,
any sign of positive. He's a fan that can't make the game, but go ahead.
In that sense, and then just, obviously, yeah, no.
Right.
Nope. And then reading the article, you're like, yeah, it's, you know, the NFL almost, like, the Players Association didn't help them out. These guys are all in San Antonio, and they're like, no, we need to be back in New Orleans, and just didn't get a lot of help from the NFL when they should have received it.
Well, again, no one's looking at 53 millionaires and really needing to help them. You know, go fuck yourself. But in that article, I don't know if it had a link or if they mentioned it themselves, but I know I went to another article to find it. I had forgotten Aaron Brooks's comments about week 12 or 13 when they benched him. He came out bitching about, you know, the team, just what Jason was just saying, and that, you know, no one's talked to us, and that, it's a $600 million team, and I think the owner could have given a couple of million dollars to us to make us feel comfortable for a couple of weeks. And they ask him, well, do you support this coach and the city? And his response was, well, as long as I'm playing here, I do. And that's a direct quote. And again, we forget this 10 years later. But that...
That's why he'll never be in the Ring of Honor.
That's
not the only thing.
Right. but again, there's just so much, especially 10 years ago right now, it was so sad, so terrible. We can never, we couldn't see where we would be 10 years later.
No, and then now, you know, with the rebirth in 06 and how good we've been since, a lot of the 05 season is kind of forgotten or pushed to the wayside because we've had this renaissance since then.
Right. Again,
so we tend to kind of push it out of our...
Sure. And again, the only thing here's my memory of the 2005 NFL season. And, specific memory. I remember being at the Ravens preseason game, you know, 2 days before the storm hit. I remember being in my seat thinking, holy crap, you know, this storm's coming this way. Maybe I should be home packing. I remember the Carolina game. I remember the New York game that was our home.
Our first home game.
Quote, unquote,
right. Home game.
Home game. And I remember going, I went to every game in Tiger Stadium. I remember hoping that we could beat Nick Saban as he returned to Tiger Stadium. but that didn't happen.
No.
You know? But that's about it, you know? I mean...
You know that last game at Tiger Stadium against the Panthers? I was at that one. Attendance was only 32,500.
Yeah, I think the first game...
I'm surprised there was that much.
The first game was like 60,000, but then after that loss, and then the rest of the losses piled up. Like, I'm pretty 30. Sure the other games are only about 30 each.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
actually,
remember,
yeah, all of them.
Mr. Benson showed his ass also at one of those games.
That's true.
You remember... He got into a pushing match with a fan, and then he wrote a letter saying that he would no longer be attending games in Tiger Stadium because he feared for his safety. You know,
right.
He was being an ass too. And again, I don't know. Obviously we all have a different opinion of Mr. Benson, and I've always supported him. I've always thought he's been a very good owner. But I wonder how much of all of that was negotiating tactics, or how much that he wanted to leave the city, or how much he thought he just had to leave the city, that the city was done.
Well, I mean, he wouldn't have been the only person to think,
right.
Know, hey, maybe this might look, as a businessman, look, maybe it wasn't going to be viable. We didn't,
right.
We didn't know.
Right. But again, that you
didn't
can...
know, but I do think that his heart is with this city. I mean, as much as he has his connections to San Antonio, I got to believe, I mean, he bought the team to keep him here. You know, remember right. Back when he bought them, it was to keep him here. And you look at now, especially, it's like, oh, no, it's all about New Orleans. I mean, people say the whole fight with his family, part of it is to protect the team and the city to have the team.
Right. Well, of course, he's got a statue
but
here.
I'd have to
he's
think
got another franchise here. He's not
right.
Going anywhere else.
Right. So he is New Orleans. So I'd have to think, looking back, hindsight being 2020, maybe all of that was negotiation tactics to get the state to give more money to.
Right. And the Blanco administration was very, very hostile to Mr. Benson. They were a bunch of incompetent boobs. But if you go back to it's on YouTube. I'm not sure how you find it, but...
Probably search.
Not sure what you search for, but in it... And again, this is 3 or 4 years before... Or definitely 2 or 3 years before Katrina, and they're negotiating. And in the press conference, you know, he's mad at the state, and he comes out and he said the only options at the time was to get a deal done, or I'm going to sell the team. And he said this. He goes, because I'm not interested in having this team anywhere else. I'm not interested in being involved with this team in anywhere but New Orleans. And again, I mean, it's all negotiation. I don't know, but. But yeah, we were all hurt by Mr. Benson, you know. But again, but you look, and my buddy Doug is good to point this out. If you look at Mr. Benson, who maybe he was just being honest with us. Look, I don't know if I can have an NFL team and compete financially in New Orleans after Katrina,
right.
Where you had George Shinn saying, "Oh, I love New Orleans. We're coming back. I love New Orleans. We're coming back. I love New Orleans. We're coming back," and stayed in Oklahoma City for 2 years. And now you know who owns his franchise. the guy that we thought might not be coming
right.
back. And now he owns everything, and everything's staying in place. And remember the joy that we felt in 2012 when Mr. Benson bought the Pelicans, and they're here to stay now, you know.
So there you have it.
So, folks, after my bitching about all the Katrina retrospective, we've done 30 minutes on it ourselves.
Right.
All right, so final thoughts, Jason.
Okay, so we have our final dress rehearsal next week. Not a lot of starters are going to play. Going to be a few bench spots up for grabs. I would like to see more of a pass rush when the season starts. That is pretty concerning at this point. Like, it's not a full-blown panic, but it's concerning, as is Jarius Bird, whatever the fuck is up with him. I mean, it's amazing how, I don't know. I just can't believe that he has not practiced at all yet. Which, there's no chance he plays the first game. No chance.
But you don't know, Jason, because Sean Payton isn't saying anything.
Well, if he hadn't practiced at all, he ain't playing in week one. Considering we only have 2 more weeks of actual practice before game one. But, no major injuries in practice. Let's hope we got our ACL injury out the way with Sinceri. Sucks for him, but don't lose anybody else. Just let's. Oh, and one last thing. It was nice to hear Joe Vitt in a press conference this week when Peyton took his daughter to school. Just because I love listening to Joe Vitt talk.
Look, folks, this is preseason. Don't hang your hat on anything that happens. It doesn't mean a damn thing. There were plenty of times back in the early 80s where the Saints would go 4-0 in preseason.
Yeah,
and then win another 4 games of the 16. So, and the Colts were notorious with Manning not, winning 1-2 games in preseason. So it's preseason. We don't know what we're going to get. And it wouldn't surprise me that today, look, we played the Texans later on in the season, that Sean Payton was playing things even closer to the vest than he normally does. So. Right.
And I still maintain that preseason, we don't know what they're actually trying to do. What they might focus on a certain guy for certain play calls just to evaluate that guy, which we would never hone in on something.
Say that guy?
That guy.
Yeah, you did just say that guy.
That guy.
And then also. I watched, I guess it was last night. I'm tired of the Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is gone. Yes, obsession with the media. He's gone. How will the Saints compete? I don't know. We did it fucking for 9 years without him. Okay, or whatever. 6, 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. We managed to win a Super Bowl and get to the NFC Championship twice without Jimmy Graham, which we never managed to do with Jimmy Graham.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure we're going to be all right. And I will make a bet with you. Trust me, Jimmy Graham was made by Drew Brees, not vice versa. Okay? Drew Brees
Did
is
you
fine.
See the video of him not blocking on the goal line?
It was pretty funny.
Yes. Yes.
I retweeted it from our account. But
right. No, I watched the Seattle game, and I paid special attention to him. And on run plays, he's not a blocker. Which actually goes toward his defense that I'm not a tight end, I'm actually a wide fucking receiver. Look, I can't block worth a shit,
But again, Sean Payton said we need to focus on the running game, so we need to get a tight end who can block.
Well, look, you know how we're going to get by without Jimmy Graham? It's called Max Unger.
Yeah.
There you go.
And again, we saw it last week, and we saw a little bit of it tonight. It just... Drew Brees, so what? He scored on all. Drew Brees has scored on every series.
Like our offense scored.
That right.
In every series that he's in.
Right. Every series that he was a quarterback, we scored. Yeah, makes me feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing with Seattle, too, is watching the game last night, like their offensive line is terrible. It was a question mark even with Unger, and now without Unger, good. You can have all the fucking Jeremy Grahams you want when Russell Wilson's running for his life. Jeremy Graham, Jimmy Graham, who gives a shit?
Okay, so then one thing we didn't do a look at him tweets. We did, but Dad to Twins 09 did ask someone, please tell me Josh Morgan is in camp as a body and will not be on the team.
Dude, he might. Don't be shocked if he makes the team.
No, not with Sneed.
Well, but okay, so. It's going to be
Colson,
CCC.
Well, I mean...
I don't know. Does Coleman make it?
Let's wait till next week. And,
okay.
Before we can...
It's table that tweet till right. next week.
Table that tweet. There's the new one. Table that tweet.
TTT.
All right, that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Nicktoon donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
I cried to my daddy on the telephone. How long now? Till the clouds are red, you come on the night winds. But the shadows will remain since your descent, your descent. The saints are coming, the saints are coming. Mother on a